bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Ambulance Victoria is an organisation that has a very, very fine history, saves lives every day, every single day. And Associate Professor Tony Walker is the CEO of Ambulance Victoria, was acting, now been appointed. So they can't get rid of you now.
Congratulations, Tony.
Congratulations there. Ambulance Victoria, you know, has come through a difficult period in the last few years. There was, let's call it a pay dispute, which is now resolved. And the work value of paramedics has been recognised. And we're all very, very pleased about that. One of the issues that has come out of that, and that I know is you're really passionate about, Tony, is the mental health of your workforce and of paramedics. And I know Ambulance Victoria and Victoria Police are putting a lot of work into this, particularly around post-traumatic stress disorder. I wanted to just ask, we've seen the awful events in Dreamworld this week, and you know, there was one of the paramedics that attended that, and you know, he the term that he used were that the injuries were incompatible with life. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But if this had happened in Victoria, what would Ambulance Victoria be doing for those paramedics post that event? And remember, you know, they're there on the scene dealing with the death, dealing with the horrific injuries, dealing with an environment of huge emotion. How would you, as CEO of Ambulance Victoria, if that was in Victoria, how would you, as an organisation, help those paramedics to deal with that?
Well, good morning. I think the first thing that we do in that situation is make sure that they're supported fully, which is acknowledging that you can't see or do those cases without them having an impact on you, and to suggest that they don't is just wrong. So we have really good peer support programs. We would ensure we've got our peers making contact with them. We would take them out of service. So that's the other thing, that the expectation that they would still be performing their normal role after doing a case like that would just not be the case. And following them up with good psychological support. What we want them to understand in those circumstances with our staff is their reaction to something like that is quite normal. And they've seen something that people shouldn't normally see or do, and they'll have a reaction to it, and we want to support them through that.
Is PTSD is in the emergency services, and particularly in police, but I think more so in ambulance, has, you know, in the past, it was probably fair to say there was a bit of an idea of, oh, look, you know, you just need to deal with it and move on. You know, you were a working paramedic, you understand it. It's an area of particular expertise for you and for Ken Lay, your chair. In implementing, you know, some of, you know, and you do have a program which is a first for an ambulance service in Australia. What is the biggest challenge about that? I mean, always getting money from government for it is a challenge, but what is the biggest challenge in a cultural sense in an organisation in saying, you know what? We really have got to face up to this. We've really got to deal with this. We've really got to resource that. How big a challenge is that?
It's a fairly big challenge. We found the biggest issue for us was to actually start having the conversation, to actually stop defending that we've got all these other programs in place to support people and actually say, you know, the stigma attached with actually putting your hand up and saying, I'm having a mental health issue, needs to be removed. So that was our biggest issue and still is. How do we break down that stigma? I'm very open about the fact I see a psychologist to do my role, and it's about, I'm very keen for our workforce to feel as comfortable talking about their mental health as they would be as if they had a back injury. And so it's normalising and breaking down that stigma, because the macho culture that still exists in the place is about, oh, no, I'm right, I can make it, I can do it okay, and they self-medicate with alcohol and other things. Actually, put your hand up. If you've got a problem, we want to help you get you well so that you can go back and do a great job for the Victorian community.
So, Tony, could you talk to us a bit more about what you as an organisation do to look after the mental health of your workforce? What are the sorts of initiatives that you put in place? What are the sorts of strategies that you put in place? Now, you've talked about, you know, one thing where there is an immediate issue, you might withdraw staff from service so they can actually rehabilitate. But what are your ongoing programs? What do they look like?
So we've had a peer support and counselling service with psychologists for more than 30 years. It came on the back of the Russell Street bombings. And that provides free psychological confidential support for all of our paramedics and, importantly, their families, where they can actually get either proactive visits with the psychologist or alternatively go and see someone if they're struggling a bit. So we've got that in place. We've just entered into an arrangement with Beyond Blue, with funding from the Victorian government of more than $1 million to actually put training out to every single staff member in Ambulance Victoria around mental health literacy, dealing with the issue of suicide. For far too long, we've been scared to talk about this issue of suicide. Paramedics are 4 times more likely than the general community to commit suicide. That's unacceptable. Our first thing to do is to actually admit to that, and now look at what we can do to actually deal with the mental health issues early on so that we don't get to the situation where people feel that's their only solution.
Exactly right. And I think, I suppose that's what I was getting at. Services like an EAP type response are actually further down the stream. Mm. So what are the things that you do early and up front? So developing, you know, workforce mental health literacy is one of those things. Can you give us another sense?
So we've just, in fact, just in the last couple of weeks launched our mental health strategy. And it's about taking the continuum of someone's journey or like career with Ambulance Victoria. So how do we support people at the beginning of their career?
Yep.
Make sure we're selecting the right people into the role so they're not putting themselves at risk. Throughout their career, for example, people have got family or other issues. How do we make sure they're being supported through that? And at the other end of their career, around the retirement end. So how do we actually support a paramedic who may have given 30 years and, you know, you can't say after 30 years you haven't got some demons. How do we support you to retire gracefully and mentally well so that you can enjoy the rest of your life?
You've raised a very important issue around selection, of course, haven't you? Because not everybody is suited to the sort of work that they may have to do at Ambulance Victoria. So if somebody's just completed their training, has scored a job, gets into the job, and all of a sudden has difficulty in dealing with the trauma that they encounter on the streets, what are the options for a person like that?
So there's a couple of issues there. For us, in the first instance, it's about making sure that if people are... So we're doing psychometric testing commencing from next year to actually ensure people are not coming in and putting themselves at risk. Mm. Once they come in, we actually encourage every single new graduate to have a visit with a psychologist, a preventative... I use an analogy, one of my colleagues call it a checkup from the neck up.
Fantastic.
Same as you go see your GP every year, go and see a psychologist proactively, see if there's something going on in your life or other things that might be a little bit of risk factors, and you can start dealing with those the same way you can deal with issues around blood pressure and cholesterol and all those things. So we're encouraging people to acknowledge that the way you feel is normal and to actually get preventative and resilience, build up that resilience through good early interventions with psychologists so you can actually, when you do deal with those difficult jobs, you're actually well placed to be able to deal with it and recover quickly.
Fantastic. I actually know a paramedic who's about my age, but he hasn't actually been on the road probably for almost 10 years. Now, he is suffering PTSD. He's getting, you know, he's remembering some of the horrendous things that he's dealt with over the years. So I'm really pleased that you're saying, okay, if you've been a paramedic for a very long time and you're going to retire, you know, that the service is not just going, okay, you know, here's a cake, bye-bye, to deal with that. But I'm interested, you know, when people are coming in and predominantly, you know, young people, they've done their degree, they're saying, okay, this is why. When they do fall at that first hurdle, or when they can't get over that first hurdle, how involved does the service get in saying, you know, hang on, we want you to, you know, we want to help you, we want you to be a paramedic. You said, you know, check from the neck up, but how do you deal with that? I mean, that's because obviously their expectation, or they're not thinking, well, actually, I'm going to deal with death and injury and awful situations and violence. How do you do that?
So I think the first thing is about normalising for people that it's not the You know, that what you see on television, all the light, you know, the bright lights and everything, you're going to be dealing with people's emotions. You're going into homes with people and seeing parts of the community most people never see. And so preparing them for that, and that their reaction to that is normal, is the first piece. The second piece is being aware of their own mental health, so how they're feeling. So, you know, we often brand, you know, issues around depression and PTSD. We're trying to normalise the continuum of saying, look, you know, if you're having done a few rough jobs and you've got some family issues at home, they can make you feel this way. And if you're feeling this way, put your hand up, have a chat to us about it, you know, or talk to a psychologist. I fund a psychological service. I have absolutely no idea what anyone talks about, who goes to it. And that's the great thing. It's completely firewalled. No one knows. And so they have a real opportunity to talk to people and to understand that what they're seeing is not normal, but their reaction to it is.
Tony, I'd like to change the subject, if that's okay. Being an LGBTI radio station, we are acutely interested in what work you're doing that might actually respond to our community's needs. So I'm interested in what you're doing around LGBTI inclusion at Ambulance Victoria.
Certainly. So it's really interesting. So I think, you know, we've moved over the last 20 or 30 years from a very male-dominated culture where the LGBTI community probably didn't feel part of that organisation to one today where I think they do. You know, we're an inclusive organisation. We are trying to create an environment where people feel that they're safe to express their sexuality in the organisation. Now, I don't think this historically that's been the case. So that's a piece of work we've been doing. We're working at the moment on our diversity and inclusion strategy.
Fantastic.
Which is going to look at the whole issue of LGBTI community, but also gender diversity, all those issues. It's something we haven't tackled well in the past, but something we're really keen to do. We represent the community, our workforce is representative of the community, and we need to be seen to be inclusive and open in the same way that we treat the community. Our workforce need to be treated the same way.
That's fantastic. Are you looking at the Rainbow Tick as part of your accreditation?
We are. So it's interesting. We've had a couple of our paramedics have come to us and said, look, this is actually something that would be a really good thing to do. Other industries are doing it. And for me, I think it sends a good external benchmark and sign to the community that we're actually meeting a certain standard. We're not just saying it, but we've been independently validated, if you
Fantastic.
Like, that we're doing that, which is
Fantastic.
Great.
And of course, the government, through the Minister for Health, Jill Hennessy, recently did launch some resources designed for health services, specifically to enable them to better prepare to engage with LGBTI people and communities.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
I want to, as we close, Tony, just one question. Not just in Victoria, but all around Australia, all around the world, violence against paramedics is increasing at a frightening rate. You know, what is the service doing about that? I know that in a lot of cases, the paramedics assess a situation and they say, look, we're actually not going in, or we're not going to stay in here until the police arrive, whatever. But, you know, being attacked in the course of their job, what's the service doing there in terms of making a safer workplace for paramedics?
That's a real challenge for us. So a paramedic is exposed to occupational violence every day. So I see every single incident where a paramedic has been exposed to occupational violence. We investigate each of those. We're putting our paramedics through training this year. So we've got, again, nearly $1 million worth of training we're providing to our paramedics onto occupational violence. And we're working better to understand the types of cases where they might be at risk, and making it exceptionally clear to them that they never put their own life at risk, because they have a patient-first mentality, and that's the nature of a paramedic, but never at the cost of their own life.
Look, we've run out of time. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.